This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Barbara Gray, and stop spoiling Game of Thrones all the time by talking about it or watching it, or I don't fucking care.
I'm Brandi Posey, and on top of everything else, I'm truly embarrassed by how much white people cut in line.
I'm Tess Barker, and I'm drinking more coffee because it's important to stay alert in this hellscape.
This is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandi, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Hey!
Hi, guys.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Oh, my God, you're welcome.
Welcome to welcoming me to my garage.
Yeah, welcome to the glam cave.
Yes.
Do we have... By the way, if you like us, you can send us things. There's a P.O. box listed at the end of the thing. Send us tasty taste tests or whatever else.
Candy, we all like candy.
We all like candy.
We like treats and gifts and nice little notes. Mm-hmm. I'll take a postcard.
Yeah.
Totally. If you're in a fun place with a postcard,
please
send them to us.
Yeah.
We got some wall space. In the old glam cave, we could decorate. There's a couple little pockets.
That was quick. Someone's dropping in right now.
The helicopter. It's crazy how we're just getting
air. It doesn't seem very economical.
No.
To chopper in a postcard.
Well, we've got lots of millionaire
wealthy yacht. If you have a moment on your yacht to think of us.
Yes, exactly.
Send it by carrier pigeon.
Right.
To the P.O. box.
And we would
love to see.
If you're in Game of Thrones, you can send a raven.
Yeah, if you're into that. We don't know what that means.
Okay, Bachelor. Take it down a notch. Everyone likes different things. It's great.
What? No. I just was reacting to something in my phone.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Are you all right?
No, I just got a weird text. Sorry. It was a landlord text. So you know whenever you see a landlord.
Oh, yeah.
Your brain immediately leaves your body.
That's like this is similar to like when you're a kid and your mom's like, can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah, that
feeling.
That feeling you get.
Not good.
Can we speak in private?
Yeah. Oh, God. Do you have a sec? Oh, you're about to get fired.
I did want to say, if you like the podcast, we don't ever tell someone about it. Tell a buddy.
Yeah.
Remember we're going to do that where we're like, hey, tell your friend to listen
to us. Oh, yeah. Tell your friend to listen to us.
Tell your friend to listen to us. Also, tell us, like, I'm interested to know what episodes people got, like, hooked on the podcast with. But you have a certain episode or moment where you're
like,
I'm in for life.
Yeah, when did you become a lady-to-lady lifer?
Yeah.
Let us know what's up.
Let us know. Lady-to-lady at MaximumFun.org or Twitter or whatever.
Yeah.
Let's bring on our guest. She has a great show called Aesthetical Relations, and you just saw her at the Cinderblock Comedy Festival.
Wow.
Christina Catherine Martinez!
Hello!
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Welcome.
I was just thinking, you know, it's even worse than, like, the, can I talk to you in private? Sometimes there's no words. They just kind of, like, pop in, and then they make the little motion.
The hand wave.
They make the motion with their hands, like,
come here. Yeah.
Yeah. The silent hand wave. Like, they can't even, like, they don't even want to say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's definitely pretty rough.
Had a few of those.
Tense. Have you guys ever been fired?
Yes.
What were you fired from?
Yeah. The first job I was fired from was Fred Segal.
Really?
Yeah, I worked at the Fred Segal in West Hollywood.
Oh, my God.
I was fired, like, twice. It was
from the same Fred Segal?
Yeah, it was one of those places where this was like in the early aughts.
Is this Winona Ryder Fred Segal era?
Yeah,
it was.
That's where she stole from.
Mm-hmm. No, but this is the one in West Hollywood. I think she stole from the one in Santa Monica.
They had a good cafe at that one.
Yeah, and there was just a lot of kids who worked there, and the management was somehow didn't even feel like hiring and training people. So half the time, like, people got fired and then they would just ask them to come back like a month later, which is what happened. First time I got fired for like being late, because at the time I was like living with my parents in Whittier, which is like far away. and I was trying to commute to West Hollywood while I was like looking for an apartment out here.
Damn.
Ooh. So I was late all the time. And then the second time, I was going to say it. There was a big scandal at work because during the holiday party, someone, you know, there was a holiday party at the store, and at some point, like, someone, you know, went into one of the boutique rooms and like messed it all up, you know, threw a bunch of clothes on the floor, took everything off the shelves. Damn. And no one knew who it was. To this day, we don't know who it was. They launched an investigation. They, like,
Jesus.
Hired a private investigator to,
a
like...
A private investigator?
It was so lame. And at the time, my...
What a dumb scandal. I know. Like, at least fuck someone.
It was really boring. It was like...
It's really funny.
It was really fucking boring. And it was funny. And I remember, you know, at the time when the creative director, whatever, like, you know, did the... Oh, he did the, like, can I talk to you for a second?
Right. Yeah.
It's just never good. Uh-huh. And this was around the time of the recession. So basically he said, you know, like, I was getting fired because my sales weren't, you know, things were rough and my sales weren't great. So, you know, we did just got to make some decisions. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing he said, and it's so funny because he was a British guy. And he's like, I'm going to ask you one more time. Do you know who messed up the Free City Room? And I was like, I'm out of here. Give me my fucking check. And then after that, I was actually dating a guy, you know, who worked in the office. And mm-hmm. it was after I got fired that they actually hired the private investigator. And he said that this guy, this, like, you know, Columbo guy in a trench coat,
literally
was like, tell me about your relationship with Christina Martinez. Oh, and he's like,
whoa.
I don't see how this is relevant to this investigation. And I don't think you're a real private investigator.
Oh, so you were like the prime suspect.
I was the prime suspect.
Holy gosh. Shit.
Wow.
For messing
Listen,
up
I'm just going to say it. This is over almost 10 years ago now. I think it's time for me to clear the air.
Did you do
right it? Here on Lady to Lady.
Did you do it?
I fucking did it, man.
Oh! Hot damn.
Here's the thing.
Damn, I didn't know we were going to get like such a reveal.
I didn't do it.
It just would have been better. Yeah.
It would have been so good. I want to have done it now.
Yeah.
I love the idea of that detective having, like, in his, like, office, just having that one case in the wall that he never cracked. And it's just like, oh, that Fred
Right. He's got all, like, the red
room.
String and all yeah. that.
But it's just pictures of, like, you know, sweatpants. And things on the floor.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, how much damage was even incurred? Was it just wrinkling?
There was no damage.
Oh,
my
God. It
was just clothes on the floor.
They have private investigator money to investigate wrinkling?
Wow.
They need to lend some of their skills over to Target.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ross and those
dressing
rooms.
Ross, definitely.
Target does have, you know, quality police level... Sort of,
yeah, they do have like a. They have somebody with a kiosk, which I think is
No, they have like a. They have a pretty serious loss prevention unit. I read this whole article about
Target.
It.
Really?
Yeah, Target. They do because there are a lot of people who systematically shoplift. Like they'll just sort of like rush in, mow a bunch of stuff into like a garbage bag and then sell it at flea markets or whatever.
Wow.
So they actually have a plan. This is so terrifying. If you've ever shoplifted from Target, that their plan is if they see you on the camera taking something, they'll actually let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And they wait to see if you come back, like,
right.
And once you've done it, like, how I don't know, however many times, they just like build a case against you and then like present it to police.
Oh, whoa. So you have a couple freebies.
You have a. Is it worth, like? Is it worth?
Is it though?
Is it worth it for the tweezers?
Yeah.
Well, don't make the tweezers be your freebie.
Yeah.
First, you got to go for those like
your tweeby.
That's a low tweeby. I would do like. You gotta go with like the speakers for your iPhone or something.
Yeah. I guess I don't understand why we're stealing from Target when they take literally everything back. Buy it, use
and then
it, and then just return it.
That's the great Target hustle.
I've never done that though.
Really?
You've never?
Target
is your library.
Yeah. It really is the library.
The library. The library of
Truly.
Life.
It is the library of life.
Yeah.
What's like some of you were I don't know.
Oh, clothes for sure. Like for like comedy shoots or like stuff like that. Like
right. Yeah, I returned a bunch of stuff from the shoot the other day.
Yeah, like if you need a stereo for like a party.
But you had like you had tags
on it,
right?
A fancy
but you can take them out. Bring them in.
You returned a fancy toothbrush?
Well, my lover, when he moved in, I think he had one of those fancy electric toothbrushes with like a base and a stand. And it was never used, but it was clearly very old.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, we should just take this to Target. And it's like, I'm pretty sure we just say that it was a gift. And I don't even know if it ever actually originally came from Target, but they had it in their system and they're like, oh, well, if you don't have a receipt, we can only give you like what it's currently selling for. So it's like, here's $80. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, Target. Yeah. Is there nothing forever. Better? Is there nothing that makes you feel more like a fucking baller than going to Target like on payday when you're not counting all the items?
If
in
you
your
could
cart?
Bottle that feeling, it's like fucking sex on ecstasy in Hawaii. I just love going big at Target when you don't have a fuck to give. You're like, I am getting a new bra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
the expensive
and three
detergent.
Pairs of socks. Oh
yes.
My God.
I need fishnets.
I have like there's a lot of different forms of retail therapy, but one of them for sure is like a big fucking iced coffee,
mm-hmm.
and then just leaning on the cart, throwing shit in it, like not even counting.
I know. I wonder what the first like, you know what I mean? The first time someone walked into one of those stores with all that stuff, because I know there were department stores, but they didn't have like, you know, household cleaners.
Target
and stuff
really
also.
Changed the game.
Yeah.
Because the beauty of Target is that you've got like the department store shit, like the makeup and the clothes and stuff, but it's with stuff that you legitimately need. You're like, what am I not going to have hand soap?
Yeah.
Well, department stores, yeah, we're too fancy. Target was the first department store you didn't have to, like, you know, put on your Sunday best.
Right. You're in your Target
Somebody's
best.
Not, like, choosing a vacuum for you.
You're not strolling with a parasol or anything down the aisle.
But you know what? If you want to, you also can in Target.
And guess what? They sell them. So you can get one right there. You get it right there.
I'm talking about yoga mats, free weights, everything.
Also, they're smart because they came in after Walmart, and we all knew Walmart was the enemy, so then we're like, oh, Target, we can go to like the same, get the same stuff as a Walmart, but it's higher class.
Well, and Target has been very vocal about gay rights stuff. During all the trans
they don't feel as
stuff
evil.
I mean, like, mm-hmm. as cheesy as it is to have like pride stuff at Target, it's also like in certain areas of the country that's pretty badass that they're putting like pride stuff in their
for sure.
Also, it's very attractive and of high quality.
God,
shout out to Target. If you represent Target, let us know. We would love
just the store that literally everyone goes to.
But I love it. We can all agree that Target and pizza, like, those are the things we can all agree on.
Yeah, I mean, saying like, oh, I'm into Target. It's like, oh, yeah, you're into water? Like, give me a break. Who doesn't?
I was in Target. I was in Target before it was cool, though.
who doesn't have a good time at Target? Like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
That's when you really know you're in a bad place in life, is when even Target doesn't bring you joy.
Yeah.
Sometimes. The last time, what's really fun is my boyfriend and I go there. And we just, like, part ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, at one point, we kind
of
just, like...
see when you meet
And then we'll
again.
Find each other, and we both have, like, carts full of, like, crazy bullshit. And we're like, this is so great.
I know.
See, I sometimes if I'm, like, can't really go nuts, I actually like to have my boyfriend be with me, because I do kind of need to have someone, like,
you don't need the bra.
Yeah,
the home goods section really gets me. Mm. I'm like, I don't need another basket. I've got 10 million things with which to hold stuff. I do not need another wicker... thing, you know, another like pencil case.
It's the school supplies. I've been out of school for a while, and I just every fall I'm just like, I want to buy pens and notebooks and little folders and it's so bad. And,
I know.
And Target, they're so beautifully laid out.
It just feels like you can organize your life easily using that stuff, and then everything will be better. Right?
I still tend to buy like fall, even though it's not. Mm-hmm. I'm not going back to school. It's my time. And I'm like, I'm going to buy some fall outfits. I'm going to buy some office supplies. And it just feels like a renewal.
Because you're ready to like read and write again. Mm-hmm. Although I like to do those in the summer too. I'm a huge nerd. But
I read and write perennially.
Although I actually am very against back to school. I hate back to school.
Really?
I despise
you mean the vibe? Like what?
The
you
whole thing?
Just going back?
The whole campaign, the idea of it. It gives me like a sinking feeling in my stomach because I love summer so much, and like they can't just let us enjoy summer. Like summer should be three months long, and like starting July, we just barely had 4th of July, and you're talking about back to school commercials. Let me just be in summer. Get your fucking plaid skirts out of here.
I'm the opposite. I'm ready. I'm ready for the. I want a backpack. I want a plaid skirt.
Get a little chilly.
I want it too, and then I'm all excited, and then you're excited for a week, and then I'm like, oh God, what have I done? And then you're back in there.
I was homeschooled when I was little, so then I didn't. I like felt like back to school was this magical thing that I was just like not a part of. So when I finally I started going to public school in junior high, and then it was like my first back to school when my parents were like, okay, let's buy clothes and school supplies. It was like, it's the most wonderful and I just like I never got over it. I like it.
Wait, so when you're homeschooled, what do you wear to school? Is it like being a freelancer where you're just in your sweats?
Yeah, I mean,
do they tell you like you should change? Do you feel like everyone
does it differently? My mom was very much like, I have two older brothers, and it was very structured. We knew other homeschool families who just people kind of like you know, yeah. come out in their jammies and crack a book. But she was like, you know, we get up, we get dressed, we have breakfast. And then there was like a separate, the den, the back room of the house that was like our school rooms. There was a designated area. You know, we went on field trips.
That's cool.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. It was pretty damn great. If there was like, if it was like a nice day, we would just be like, okay, like just do this and then bring the rest of your books and we'll go to the beach and have school in the woods. And I think it really planted the seed of like my distrust of like all institutions ever.
Yeah.
Like, no one should, no amount of people should just be in a building sitting doing a thing.
I do. That's a really interesting point. Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I wonder if that's like how that has affected you as you get older about just being like, no, the rules were made up.
I had a hard, it was hard in high school. Junior high was just, everything was so new. I was really...
Is that where you first started going
yeah,
to school?
Yeah, I started in sixth grade.
Oh my God, that's
I intense. Was really scared and I thought that I was like behind and I didn't know anything because I had no other peers to really compare it to. I was totally fine. I was just so scared. I worked really hard and I did well. And then I skipped the eighth grade. And then in high school is when I stopped, was really started questioning things and like stopped giving a shit. And I'm sure a lot of people have this with their teachers. They're like, oh, you're really smart, but you don't, like, apply yourself.
Yeah.
That thing in math class.
I thought you were saying you say that to the teacher.
No.
Yeah. That would be a hilarious thing to say to a high school teacher. Yeah.
So why are you here? Like, yeah. I'm all
really smart. You're just not applying yourself. You're here for the summers, aren't you?
Yeah. Or, like, the getting in trouble, like, math class, like, getting in trouble because you didn't show your work even though you got the answer right.
Yep.
So... And it was all these teachers saying, like, oh, you're so smart. But, like, and I was like, well, if you know that, then, like, why am I even doing this stuff? Just give me a good grade.
Right. Yeah.
So it's one of those things. I had, like, all these AP classes, and I passed all the AP tests, but I got, like, almost failed, like, the actual class. So I just, like,
That happened in my U.S. history AP class, because I was a really rebellious teenager, too. And I was, like, I was already in junior college half the day, and I was, like, we can smoke at my other school. Like, this is dumb. So... my U.S. history AP class, it was the same thing, and the teacher made us a deal. He was like, if you get a 5 on the U.S., on the AP, then I'll change your grade no matter what it is. And
see, that's smart, because that's what the whole AP class is, just to get you to pass the AP test.
Right? Yeah. But no, so I got a fucking 5, and I was like, please change my transcript. I came back the next year, I was like, please change my transcript, and he didn't believe me.
What?
Yeah, and like I was like, this is my official score. It was like, had a seal on it and everything. He didn't believe me. Finally contacted the company, and they verified that I did, in fact, get a fucking 5. And then Mr. Beck changed my grade to a motherfucking A.
Isn't it weird how certain...
Hell yeah.
Isn't it weird...
Suck it, Mr. Beck.
Isn't it weird how teachers are supposed to cultivate excellence, yet at the same time they can't stand seeing excellence that they didn't feel directly responsible for?
Yes. Yes.
It's a bummer when you get those kind of teachers.
Who just, like, hate... bright, shining kids who don't need them really badly.
Yeah. Yeah, they were like, this must be my creation.
But, I mean, like, I was rebellious, but I was really nice, because I wasn't just like a, you know, like, fuck you. I was just like, but I don't understand. Like, you know that I'm small and I like you a lot, so just give me a good grade.
I think part of it might be, too, like, they just don't have the bandwidth to manage you. Like, I think... Managing, like, a bright kid, like, who isn't really working in the box, like, when you have 30 other kids and you're, like, in a public school with not that many resources, I think they just view you as, like, an annoyance.
Kind of. I did go to a good, a public school in kind of, like, a fancier area of town, so it was actually weirdly a very good school, and I think part of it was that, like, I don't know why, but so many of the teachers were really young. Like, most of my teachers were in their mid-20s, which... In retrospect, like, I'm 32. I can't even imagine teaching high school.
My
it's
God.
Like a 25.
No one let me.
I substitute high school as a 21-year-old.
Yeah. So but I think maybe that was part of it. It was all these.
Wild ride.
Yeah. It was all these people in their 20s. And they were good because they just had the energy to deal with it.
Yeah.
Because I definitely felt the difference. And I had some classes with people who were like ready to retire and they just could not care less.
Yeah. I feel like when I was subbing, my high school kids were my favorite because I got them and they got me. Like, I was just like, don't be a fucking dick. And they'd be like, all right.
Yeah, I forget that you need the energy of like being like teenies and like thinking everything's
I'm gonna burp.
Great.
Exactly.
That's all good. Good one.
Sometimes it happens.
You
a
get
lot.
Detention.
Do you ever do that when you're on stage? Sometimes, like, I try to be chill and like take my beer on stage, and then, but if I drink while I'm doing my set, right. I will just burp in the middle of
I'm
it.
I'm not a burpy person.
It's such a cheap laugh too, and I'm like. Sorry.
Fuck that's it.
Nice. Work what you got, girl.
Take it.
Gotta have a gimmick.
Yeah.
If burping's your gimmick,
Yeah, burp
it out. I just can't help it. I'm deciding whether or not, like, there's no way I can have a beer on stage and not burp at some point. So I'm just deciding if whether or not I want to keep doing it.
Like, it's incorporate it into something larger.
Wow. I usually just say, like, hold for burping.
I mean, Simon Gibson has a whole joke about burping in his set. He burps on stage and he talks about how he's not supposed to. And I'm like, well, it's like planted. He, like, can burp on command.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I can burp and weep on command.
Damn.
At the same time?
If I wanted to, yeah.
Two tricks, like, honey.
That's just like flattening, like pressing you in the stomach and letting the air shoot
out
of both ends.
Chinese finger trap.
It's exciting. This reminds me. I figured out what my hip hop moniker is.
Oh, what? Yeah.
It's Queef Latina.
Oh,
nice.
That's good.
And I was like, oh, that's... I don't really have, that's all it is. I don't have a
You don't have a rap or anything?
No, I just thought of the name.
It's a good, if you wanted to do drag too. Queef Latina.
Oh my God. I have to do I will have done a drag show at Cinderblock by the time this comes out.
Oh shit.
So you're going to dress and drag?
Yeah, it's a weird show called Comedy Quick Change where they actually pair you. It's half comics, half drag queens, and you get paired off. And the queen, she's supposed to help me come up with a drag bit.
Oh,
I'm
awesome.
Supposed to help her come up with a 5-minute set.
Oh, God,
that's cool.
So yeah, they just introduced us like via email. Like this girl, she lives in New York. So I'm like, we're gonna have to try to like email and help each other figure it
out. That's great.
That's cool.
Wow. Oh, also shout out to our buddy Katya for getting a fucking TV show.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on, Vice.
Katya and Trixie.
With Trixie.
And Trixie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What's
that from?
So
Katya from Drag Race. And Trixie got their own show on Vice.
Yes. Katya, friend of Lady to Lady.
Yeah. Friend of the show.
We'll be back.
Back on Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Christina.
Hi.
And there's this little stupid thing that I spent my morning looking at instead of being productive or working out or anything.
Uh-huh.
And it's shouldyoudatenate.com. And it's a very special libertarian.
Oh, libertarian.
Man.
I didn't know that.
Pass.
That one libertarian who talked to us at Smashmouth was cute.
No, he was not.
He was well built.
Everybody here, would you date a libertarian if everything else was perfect?
No.
Probably not.
I doubt it. How could everything else be perfect?
They'd be too much like my dad.
Yeah, all right, fair.
Also, I don't entertain hypotheticals.
Oh my God, Nate. He is such a Nate.
He is very much a Nate.
And very libertarian.
Would you date Nate.com? Where did you find this?
You date Nate? Somebody just posted. Like I said, I was in bed, of course.
Here's the first thing. Here's what I think is off. Look at this sweepy, like, hacker's hair and those little, like, rectangle, you know, glasses. Like, he's the guy in, like, a 90s sci-fi thriller that, like, oh, he's the only one who can break the Genghis Rubicon.
No.
Whatever.
Totally.
Jesus, oh, my God, no. He is. He's
Nate is a looper. He's from the 90s. Yes. He's here to take our women. Mm-hmm. I don't trust it. Mm-hmm. He's probably got a messenger bag full of CDs.
Oh, totally, for sure.
I know the 90s are back, but you can tell when, young kids are doing, butt cuts and, wearing, 90s skater things. It's like okay, that's, a weird trend that's coming back.
Yeah.
This guy's actually plucked from...
This man is from the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks like he cosplays as Tommy Wiseau.
His glasses are straight up, from the movie Go.
Those glasses really bug me. You need to update.
They're not flattering on anyone.
No.
You can only wear those if you... are a 90s looper hacker or like a cholo uncle.
Mm-hmm. They're the rectangle ones, and then they have the they have the invisible bottom.
They're almost like goggles.
Yeah, they are. They're basically glass goggles.
It's like the kind, it's like those rimless glasses. It's like if you're a cholo uncle and you have to wear glasses, you just try to get the ones that are going to disappear the most because you're not into glasses.
Right. You're like, I don't want these to show up.
Right. So they're always the ones where it's just lenses and then a little whisper of temple.
A whisper of an eyebrow.
Whisper of temple just to be like, hey, fool, I can't see no good or fucking shit, but I'm not going to wear no fucking big ass glasses.
I'm not a fucking nerd.
All right, guys, I'm reading about Nate.
Yeah.
And honestly, he kind of sounds like he does have his shit together. I wake up a little after 7 a.m., me too, shower, exercise, meditate for an hour, and then this all sounds good. Then I step into my office desk in the corner of my apartment. okay, now we're getting real, and immediately get to work. And let me tell you, do I ever work?
It's weird because he calls himself a recovering workaholic, but then all he does is talk about how much he works. So yeah, are you recovering or are you a workaholic?
I think he's still in the throes of the workaholic.
Well, we say the intro at the beginning. Why this 6'4 passionate businessman is offering a free dream vacation to a lucky woman.
Oh, okay.
So that's part of the deal. He's...
Chances are this opportunity is not right for you, even if you're an exceptionally intelligent, beautiful woman who secretly dreams of meeting a great guy. Fuck off.
This is a one other section. He talks about how, like, I wanted to make a special effort for the woman I'm going to meet, hence this website. It won't resonate with 99% of women, but I didn't write this for them. Wow. I wrote it for you. Like, there is someone in Peoria.
Yeah.
Who's like... Some shift lead at Sbarro who's just like, oh my God.
So you know what? Don't you think good for them? I mean, maybe he's right and good for them.
I mean, he is right.
Yeah, everyone. Yeah,
we're the 99%.
We're just,
we shouldn't date Nate.
It's not for us. He's right.
I mean, there's a weird perhaps relaxing and getting cozy in front of a fire in a mountainside condo after a fun day skiing Aspen.
That's better than Sbarro.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. I just don't there's a weird mix of like self-deprecation and like exaggeration. And I can't tell what is happening. Or where he's actually coming
from. It's really hard because it's like, if you had actually done this in a funny way and you knew you were being funny about it, this would work. Like, it would be, you know, if it was like you knew, if you were in on the joke.
But that's not who Nate is.
No, he's very self-serious.
Yeah, so maybe that's why, we don't like him. Because it's like, he's got all these great, you know, what's the number one thing women say? Most women say they like a man, a sense of humor. And then here's this 5,000 word website. All to say, I'm perfect, but I don't have a sense of humor.
That's
kind of what it comes down to. Well, also, I'm a looper.
Like, you know, this guy is literally waiting for you to finish talking so he can then start to talk again. Like, every conversation with him is just like, and then this happened in my life.
How can he do that? Because you've already learned everything about him from this website.
Oh, well, he will repeat all of this over and over and over again.
This is what's funny, too, is he talks about how he doesn't like things that are cool. Like, he's like, I don't really. What resonates with like most people doesn't resonate with me, like pop culture. And then he goes on to be like, here's one of my favorite quotes from the movie Forrest Gump. I'm sorry, you like one of the most popular movies of all time?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not really into music, but have you heard of the Beatles? Like,
this is my favorite, is the section in Things Nate Does Not Want in a Woman.
Oh boy.
Number one is Dionysian Divas. And I'm like, what? That's exactly what I want to be.
Yeah, that's
he's basically saying. I mean, and it's not even a ridiculous request. He's basically saying, I don't want
an alcoholic.
People don't want a crazy party. Do you drink now and then or smoke a little pot? Good, but please see where. But then it's like, it's okay, just a little. And that's what everyone wants. It's like, I want someone who knows how to have fun and isn't like a crazy party burnout.
Yeah, it's like it all comes together, you know.
But there's something so condescending about the way he goes. Good. Both are proven to enhance health, but please read that first sentence again. See where it says now and then and a little, you dumb fucking bitch who doesn't know how to read.
I'm still going to be policing what you fucking do.
I was like, if your idea of good nutrition is to top off your extra large pizza and cinnamon buns with a Diet Coke, then I'm not the guy to help you polish your plate.
Wow.
Does he mean go down? Does polish your plate mean?
He also doesn't want lackadaisical ladies. Is your big daily accomplishment plopping in front of your TV for a reality show like I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant, followed by updating your Facebook page about the plot details? Super. But I'm looking for a woman who desires more.
Wow.
What a dickhead.
My favorite part is he keeps posting stock photos of women hitting men with rolling pins, and he seems very amused by it. Ha 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 ha, I just found another rolling pin photo.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think the answer is no. You should not date.
Yeah,
I think,
none of us should date Nate.
No one should date Nate.
I don't know. I think there's a woman out there for him.
There is.
I think he's gonna find it with his website.
NateShouldDieAlone.com.
Well, she just has a
harsh. Someone, way harsh.
Right now, there's a woman out there making a website like ShouldYouDateTricia.net or.
If this becomes the new thing,
I was thinking about making one with Alan, like parodying this.
Oh, that would be funny.
It was like, should you fuck me? Like, do you like to fuck?
Are you going to expect a text soon?
Yeah.
I posted this and Kyle Kinane responded, I just read this whole thing and I feel like you owe me money now.
Oh, man, I wish I was with Kyle when he read this.
Also, oh, my God, there's a video at the beginning of the thing
Yeah.
where he talks about how he moved to Colorado because of the movie Dumb and Dumber.
Shut up.
Does that make you like him, Brandy?
No.
How could that guy say, see, I don't.
So how
can
he say he doesn't like popular culture shit, too?
Well, but look, he's not Ariana Grande. No, it's Dumb and Dumber and Forrest Gump.
He's saying he doesn't like things that everyone likes.
He's a basic. You guys, he's a basic.
Well, because he thinks that saying he doesn't like popular things inherently makes him interesting, and that's not actually true.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like being contrarian to in place of a personality.
He doesn't know enough to know that he likes popular things.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like the indie underground movie Dumb and Dumber that nobody watched at all in the 90s.
I love that he moved there for that. How many people moved to Denver because
that is deeply
of that movie?
I mean, troubling. He should get like a plaque put up.
Also, it takes place in Aspen. So.
Oh.
You know?
Bummer.
Yeah, which is just like, you know, a town of white devils. So if he lives there, I especially want nothing to do
probably,
with
probably, yeah.
It's like moving to LA because you like Anchorman.
Yeah. I think you mean San Diego.
San Diego.
But that's what I mean.
Yeah. Also, he's like launching his own nutritional supplement company and like.
Great. It's great. No, it's great. Nutrition supplements. Fuck my shit up, fam. Put the shit in my body.
You like nutrition supplements?
I like the idea of it. I got on my way over here, I got some smoothie McBusiness. Friggin' thing. I went to that coffee shop. Was it Swart?
Mm-hmm.
Swart.
And they have a whole menu of like, I don't want to stuff myself today because we're doing the burlesque show tonight.
Sure.
So I'm just like, I'm going to lose 20 pounds in one day.
Yeah.
The live smoothie.
Smoothies are good for those days.
I think it's just good. I mean, I know it doesn't matter. It'd just be good to like not feel stuffed if I'm going to like striptease in front of people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Bananas.
Are you getting naked or are you going to get pasties naked?
I'll get pasties naked. I don't like, I hate my body like most people. I mean, like, hate their own, not like everyone hates my body.
No, we've all got.
And I'm actually in a pretty good mood. I've been in like a good mood these past few days, so I understand that that's like silly. And so I'm like, how can I like have fun with like me being uncomfortable with my own body? And part one of the ideas, and we're just talking about how like no one knows what they're going to do tonight. I guess reference, I should say, I'm doing a show with a bunch of other great comedians that is comedians trying burlesque, and no one knows what we're going to do. But I thought about doing like reverse striptease. I'm like, what if I just came out like totally like, you know, naked just with pasties and underwear, and then I could put clothes on so I could like get it over with.
That's
top.
Really funny.
I like that.
And, you know, maybe I was like going to hide the clothes under people's chairs and
like,
make them give
like,
it to me.
Like as though you'd like thrown it at them or something.
Yeah.
Or, but then... And this is too complicated. I don't know if I could get it done before 10 p.m. But I was like, I want to do it to Rod Stewart's Do You Think I'm Sexy? Because it's a fun song.
Yes.
And then I wanted to have like a narrative like, oh, okay, what if it's like, it's reverse striptease, but like, why would I be getting dressed? I'm like, oh, it's a girl getting ready for a date. And then, so I'd have all the clothes I put, but all the clothes I have, because like, I'm in a relationship, so I've gained some weight recently. Like, none of my clothes fit, which is frustrating.
Right.
But I'm like, I can make that into the dance. And, like, it's me putting on clothes, but, like, none of them fit. So then I just, like, get dressed in this, like, half shitty way where it's all hanging out.
That's really funny.
Yeah, I like it.
You could also do, I've done a thing before where, what if you put on way too many clothes? Like, you just keep. They're like, how the fuck is she putting
and
more on?
Yeah, see, that's fun.
It looks really. Yeah. I've done it. Well, I did a really dumb like talent show thing once where I literally brought as many clothes as I could, and I sang Les Mis while I put on articles of clothing.
Just singing while you do anything is funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it like when somebody starts getting way too much on, they look you know ridiculous.
It looks fun.
So yeah, mm-hmm. I think if you just if
and
you
then
did
like
that
still
and, like,
trying to dance
more
sexy,
more,
but I have like I can barely move.
Can barely move.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, basically like the kid from a. What's the
Home Alone?
Christmas story?
Christmas story. Yes.
Oh, yeah. His little outfit.
I do another thing that, like, the thing I know that I can do, it's like my fallback because I've done it several times, is like this bit, but where like, I sing Bjork's It's Oh So Quiet while I'm like disemboweling a body pillow that I put like fake blood and sausage into. So it's just like a good, silly stage picture because it's like.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that body pillow bit. Oh, yeah.
It's very artistic.
It's real good.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, then I could just add boobs to that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can always just add boobs to anything.
I just like doing,
throw some tits on a pillow.
I like doing new stuff. I was like, I thought this would be a good opportunity to try something new. And then, of course, I waited till the last second. And I'm like,
I think everyone does that, though.
Like, everyone does that.
Especially for shows like that. You're like, I'm not going to, like, it's going to, and it's most fun when you come up with the last second.
I think if I thought about it.
Better be because there's no other options.
Yeah, exactly.
Part of it. And I don't know if you feel this way just, like, in stand-up or doing anything. Sometimes it's like if I plan a set too far in advance, like, oh, this is a good thing to do for this show because it's important. And then you get to that day and suddenly you're just in like a different mood and you don't feel like doing it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, today's a good day to plan it because I'm in a good mood. And if I thought of something a week ago, I might even like hate it today.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, our like live shows are absolutely crazy and they always have, but it's like always like the day before that we're like, okay, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
You know, like we come up with the idea, but I think it's more fun. I don't know. I just think it's more fun.
I do the same thing with
this. Honestly, I think things do go better when I take the time to plan them actually, but it's a fine, I'm often scrambling to the last minute just because that's.
It's a fine line. That's how like, we are. There's a lot. There's a lot to be said for being prepared, but I've found now with aesthetic relations, what I do is I actually like leave room for that. Is like I'll save one slot for like a comic that I book just maybe like a few days before.
That's always good.
Just to kind of like fill it in.
Yeah, that's nice.
And usually it's always just like, oh yeah, that was the missing piece. Like, and it's always someone that I just like see for the first time at a show, and I'm just like, oh my god, like that guy or that girl, that would be great. Or like the last one, it was when I saw Daniel Webb at like an open mic, and I was like, oh, that's perfect, he's the guy. Like, that's such
good.
Yeah,
you don't want to book out like too far because you want to leave spots for fun people like that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, let's do some of these OKCupid questions. We're gonna drop in this theme song if we got it somewhere.
Yeah. OKCupid.
So if you guys have the fortunate chance of being on OKCupid or have been on there, they have a very extensive almost more extensive than Nate's
You know what I found out? I was on OKCupid very briefly last year. And I found out, you know, I'd answer the questions are fun, so I'd answer a bunch of them. And then I found out someone else, like, you know, a friend found me at OKCupid. He's like, you know, according to, like, OKCupid, it says you're trouble. It actually gives you the more questions.
Gives you, like, weird statistics.
The more questions you answer, it'll add these, like, keywords and stuff to your profile. So I answered enough, and if you look at mine, it says like unwholesome, trouble, and like, you know, farts or whatever.
That's like your own self-submitted adjectives, or who gave
it's like you do the quiz, and then basically at the bottom it'll compare you to the person, I think, sort of, and it'll be like they are more wholesome, more loyal, more this, less that.
I didn't assign myself these adjectives that OKCupid did based on my answers to the quiz. Right.
Let's be honest, the universe decided you were trouble.
Yeah.
I'm so...
F you, Cupid.
No, wow. I'm like, I'm dying to please everyone on the entire planet.
That sounds like trouble to me.
Wow, that's great. So is this the future, like, that the computers will just decide who should connect?
I mean... I don't know. I never really used that thing. That was like, it was your choice to like pay attention to that or not.
You know, when I was doing, I did all that stuff for like less than a year because I was in a relationship for like almost a decade before that. And, you know, I went on like one OKCupid date. I went on like one Bumble date. Never even went on an actual Tinder date. And then I still ended up meeting my boyfriend just like at a party out in the world.
Yeah.
Well, that's the dream, but sometimes it doesn't work that way.
I just got drunk and fucked one of my guy friends.
Also, like, you know, that's just what our friends for.
Yeah.
And every time I went on like an internet date, I ended up having to like cancel a show. So I'm like, this is dumb. Definitely not doing
that. Oh, yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Because you forget, like, normal people who aren't doing comedy every night, like, don't care about that.
Yeah, you're like, I took a night off work for this?
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
No. All right. OKCupid questionnaire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In a relationship, I like to discuss politics with my partner.
Yeah, always.
For sure.
Oh my god. I mean, if you can't talk to them about it.
But, you know, it will probably turn into yelling at some point. No, actually, I've had pretty good, my last two relationships, I have pretty good conversations where, you know, and they're both like, you know, feminist men. Who are like very open to hearing that stuff. So I'm just like, they're like, I don't get it. And I'm like, okay. Blah, 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 blah. And he's like, oh. This is a really dumb, really small example, but my ex was like, he was a skateboarder. And he was like making some comment about like female skateboarders. He's like, oh yeah, that chick, like she's fucking great, but she's got like weird style. And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, I don't know, she doesn't like, da-da. He was just like critiquing like the way she does something. And I was like, well, he's like, you know, I think it's just because, like, women have a lower center of gravity. It's like you look different on a board, which is true.
Yeah.
But I was like, but do you see that, like, because, like, the way, I was like, do you see that because she's a woman, it's like she's being, her style is being compared to
it's
a standard.
It's looked at as weird.
It's being compared to a standard that is literally based off of the way, like, men's bodies like move on a board? And he was like, oh yeah, I guess so.
He's yeah, like, oh, if you've so only been used to seeing men do it, then that's.
But it was just like a really dumb, small thing that he was like, oh yeah, I get it. Like there are these things that we consider objective standards are actually calibrated to the way like men do things.
Well,
yeah,
all you had to do was give one example and he just got that.
I mean, he got it. Yeah. I mean, he definitely got it for like the realm of skateboarding. So it's like, cool. We got skateboarding. We fixed it.
I love like now that. If you just put it all into skateboarding, yeah, they might understand.
Yeah. Got to give a concrete example sometimes.
If only Hillary Clinton was better at doing ollies.
Truly though.
Yeah. It's actually
God,
very true.
Somebody played that fucking vine of her going, I'm just chilling at Cedar Rapids. Oh. And I was like, I miss you so much, Grandma.
God bless.
Okay. What is your quest?
Oh shit.
Like, is this something Nate would ask?
This is so dumb.
We know what Nate's quest is.
Yeah. Oh, this is so dumb. But I'll say, like, I want to be a really good comedian and a writer. What's my fucking quest?
That's a great quest.
Great quest.
Were you into writing and comedy and stuff when you were a kid?
No. I mean, I was, like, a fan of comedy. The first, and my whole family, they're all naturally very funny. We, like, riff and have a lot of fun together. But, it was just like, and we watched like Brian Regan together, and that was a big thing because he's so great, and he's not dirty.
Yeah.
You know, and I did theater in high school and all that stuff, but after high school and living around, and then I went to college like much later. I didn't go to school until I was like 26. Then I became, I got involved in the art world and I became an art critic. So I was basically a journalist and an art critic for like 6 or 7 years before I ever took comedy like seriously in my adult life. And it started out by taking like improv classes because I didn't really know what to do.
Yeah.
And then I got
that's
into
where we all start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
for
then,
that reason.
Well, and then you get sick of it because like literally it was just the logistics. I was on like a few teams. One was like a house team at iOS, which is supposed to be a big deal. But I was like, it just felt like this doesn't go anywhere. Yeah. Because it's like, I thought like, okay, this is how I get into comedy and comedic acting. I do improv and it's really fun. I think it's good. It's really good exercise to be an actor, but I mean, you're only doing it for other actors. There's no like improv comedy fans. There's a lot of people
there
there's a few. There's a whole like stand-up viewing public. I think I just got sick of the logistics. I'm like, I can't coordinate with like 8 other people who all have jobs. Yeah.
Well, it's like being in a group project for school all the time.
Yeah, constantly.
Like,
I can't carry the fucking weight, and sometimes I just need to pull an all-nighter and fuck my own self over. So,
yeah.
For me, stand-up, honestly, was partially just like a money thing, too. Like, I was like, well, improv classes are expensive, and open mics are free.
Yeah, well, so, I didn't. Yeah.
That's why I started stand-up.
I was just sick of the logistics, and I remember when I was like, I've always, of course, been like into stand-up and like that idea, and I'm like, oh, that'd be so cool, but like never that like that's something I could do. And then a few years ago, like almost exactly 2 years ago, I was on a break from my job. I was a director of an art gallery and the owners were European. So they do that European thing where they just like shut down for the month of August, which I wish we did.
Seriously.
So it was
sanctioned by anyone.
Yeah. So it was awesome. They just like they left to go back to Europe for the month of August and they like paid me to have a month off. So it's like, okay, I'm going to try stand up. And I had no idea like, I literally just like had to Google like open mics Los Angeles because I had no idea where any of that stuff went on.
Thecomedybureau.com.
Oh yeah, of course that's where it's
shout out to the Comedy Bureau.
And that's how I found. So for that month, I was like, I'm just gonna now that like I have money, I'm just gonna like pretend that I'm a comedian and like see how that feels. And I did like an open mic every single night for like a month. It was so bad. But then like I got the first time you do like okay, it's such a huge like. Yeah, so then I ended up, going back to work, and then I, like, left a couple months later.
Yeah.
And, I mean, now I have another day job, but it felt like it was really good.
But it's a lot different when you have the day job and you get to go do comedy.
Well, it's different. Yeah. That job was, like, a real job 24/7. Like, I was traveling and having to meet with people and stuff like that. And it
a grown-up job.
Yeah, I'm glad I did it, because I was like, now I know that, like, I can't do it. I'm glad I had like one big girl job for a little bit.
For sure.
You got to have your I'm right on top of that rose moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're right on top of that rose. We'll be right back.
We are back. I'm Tess.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Brandy.
And we're here with Christina.
Hello.
Yeah.
Christina, we have people write into us and ask us advice.
Hell yeah.
Do you want to help us solve some problems?
Yeah.
Let's do it,
solve
guys.
All of them. Here's the theme song.
Lady problems. Lady problems. Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them? People have them.
All right.
These are real problems that
these
people
are
have.
Seriously, yeah, yeah. Like real problems.
It'd be okay. Funny if we made these up because they're like very detailed.
Yeah, very elaborate sometimes.
I'm too lazy to be get into detailed. Character.
Would be a no. good creative writing exercise.
Oh,
but...
yeah. Maybe on our writing retreat. We can yeah. warm up with some fake labor. We won't do that.
No, definitely not.
Be lucky to do some yoga. Okay. Hi, ladies. I'm a freshly graduated 23-year-old who's not quite ready to face my adult life just yet. Yeah, I feel ya. My degree is from one of the nation's top architecture schools, and while I'm proud of myself for finishing the program and grateful for my parents' help in paying for school, I have very little interest in pursuing an architectural career right now. I bartend at two popular spots in my college town where I make excellent money, work with an awesome community of people, and have the privilege of genuinely enjoying my workday. I hadn't necessarily expected to stagnate like this after graduating, but after settling into these jobs for summer, I truly feel quite confident writing them out for the foreseeable future. The problem isn't so much me, it's everyone else. At this point, approximately 2 months post-graduation, most of my fellow graduates have already settled into their 9-to-5s at respectable architecture firms, and the ones who haven't are knee-deep in job hunting. Nearly every time I find myself in conversation with a former peer, I feel somewhat judged for my choice to keep bartending gigs over architectural work. The way I see it, my degree isn't going anywhere. I have every intention of putting it to use one day, but architectural licensure just isn't for me, and I haven't decided yet where I'll land in the field of design. But these uncomfortable conversations have been getting to me. How can I confidently assure people that I'm happy with my alternative path? Unless, that is, they're right. Should I feel ashamed of my current circumstances? Thanks for the help, ladies.
Okay, first of all, you're fine.
Yeah.
And the answer is, like, you cannot convince other people to have confidence in your own career path, and that's why they're giving you shit, because... you have confidence in your career path, and that bugs the shit out of them.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, it just befuddles people.
Yeah.
But I know that feeling, though. I mean, anytime you pursue a career in the arts, these conversations are very familiar, and it is uncomfortable, because, like, I think it's a natural human instinct, or you just kind of want to make people comfortable when they're talking to you, and you can tell that they're uncomfortable with what you're doing because they just don't understand it.
Yeah, you want to validate yourself, obviously, in their eyes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's easy to feel weird
but
about that.
I don't know. I just feel like, if you don't know, then there's no point in investing a lot of time and intellectual and mental energy just because you have a degree in this. I think what helped me get on the amazing path that I'm on today... You know, I grew up here, so like and my parents live like fairly close to Los Angeles. I could have been just like hanging out there, and I didn't know what I wanted to do after high school. So I think just this is sort of the same thing, except you have a degree. It's like I just knew that like I just have to leave and like start making a living for myself, and then I'll figure it out. So the fact that you're just on your own, obviously making good money, having some fun jobs that you like, which is like more than most people can say about their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you're golden.
Yeah, she's just fine.
That's the tricky thing. It's like, I don't know. I couldn't remember if it was a he or a she or a they. Anyway,
it's a gal.
That's hard. I think you just have to cultivate, you know, have confidence in your own happiness and realize that, like, you can't, that other people's judgments is just sort of projecting.
Yeah,
it's hard to.
It's hard, and that is a really tough time in your life. Like right after you graduate college,
mm-hmm.
It's just so sobering because, like, your entire life you've had school
mm-hmm.
as like the thing.
I don't
that
relate
you're doing.
To that, so I'm just like,
yes,
we people live. You got to do whatever. There's money.
Yeah,
you know. I didn't go to college after high school. It wasn't until I was like. So I was just like working, you know, Fred Siegel and like coffee shops and all sorts of shitty stuff getting by. But then I knew when I went to school, I'm like, I know what I want to study. And it's not about like, this is not going to get me a great, huge job. But I was just like, this is now what I'm excited to learn more about.
Right.
Yeah.
And I never had any.
I never.
It's honestly hard for me to relate to because I never had any expectation that like college was going to magically put me in like a higher socioeconomic bracket.
Right.
But I was like, you know, I got like the government subsidized me like hanging out and reading books for a few years. Like that was really nice.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I like after college, I studied film and that kind of was just like, that's not going to, you know, really do a ton. And I hung out for a few years and then I moved to LA and decided to do comedy. And like, I'm really glad I did that. You know, it felt weird not jumping into anything, but if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have like started comedy when I did, met the people I did, like the timing yeah. worked out how it was supposed to. And I think like what you're doing is great. You hang out. You sounds like you know that what you're doing is right. It's obviously other people that are like mm-hmm. bugging you, but you know it. And also the thing is, it's cool because you're the people getting involved with it right now. That's cool, and you'll probably end up working with them someday. So it's like, you know, let them all do it for a year and then check in and be like, hey, what's up? I'm
yeah,
in
you know,
now.
Yeah, that's a great thing. Yeah, it sounds just, like you're not. It just happened. Yeah, you're not too affected by what other people think of your station in life, and you're happy. And
she's
you're
so young.
Money.
If she already thinks that, like in a few years, so, she's gonna be like, go fuck yourself.
But then, what's yeah. a, that's what's amazing is that her friends are all hustling. So, like, you know, in a couple years, when you feel ready to enter into put your degree to use, you'll know a ton of people who have already been doing it and have a, you know, give you a referral, have experience.
Maybe you'll end up wanting to design bars. I don't know. Like, yeah. you never know, like, yeah. what's going to lead to something else either. So, like, just trust, like, you're happy where
maybe,
you are.
Maybe you'll come across a really cool website by a really great guy.
Yeah, maybe you'll meet your Nate.
Who's going to sweep you off your feet.
You can rake in all Nate's nutritional supplement money. You right, can have right. that trophy wife nutritional supplement money.
Also, that's a really rough thing, architecture, because it's like I studied comparative literature and I'm a writer and you're a writer. You know that like you can always do that. So I've never had a problem, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's easy to just hop into it.
Like I had, you know, right, I had sure, a, yeah. you know, I had a day, you know, having day jobs where, and people do interrogate you when you want, you just want a job. People are like, okay, but what are your dreams? And are they going to get away in this job? I say like, oh, well, you know, I'm just a writer. I can do that whenever.
That was but always like, the funny game, like downplaying yeah. your ambition. You're yeah. Like, no, just.
But like architecture and, you know, my boyfriend now, he's like a curator, an art curator, which it's a tricky thing. It's not like, oh yeah, well I'm just gonna architect on the weekends for fun, or yeah. you know I'm just gonna yeah, yeah. I'm just like a moonlight curator, you know.
Mm-hmm.
These are like trickier, more like diffuse professions, which mm-hmm. like I honestly don't have a lot of advice on how you can just like do that for fun.
I think she'll figure it out though. Like yeah. it'll all happen. I mean, she's still staying in touch with the people from school. I don't know, and I just think that RuPaul quote, like it's none of my business what anyone else thinks of me. Like, just don't, yeah. like, yeah. you know, like, you know what you're doing, you're happy, like, and I know it's easier said than done, but, like, kind of let it slide off your back.
Those
like,
the,
it's all going to be
those
fine.
Those are the two things that matter most in life. My friend gave me the really great advice when I was, like, when I first started writing about art, and this, I carried over to comedy when I first started just, like, going to shows and trying to hang out and meet people and being nervous. He was just like, remember that feeling, like, when you went in high school, when you would go to, like, a different high school's prom or a different high school's party, and it was like super fun because like you didn't really know anybody, but like you also weren't really part of the pecking order. You didn't like get
there's no stakes, there's no expectations.
He's like, yeah, you were not part of like however their clique or their like hierarchy works. So you just like had fun, and then you were like the cool person who like didn't care. He's like, just be that person all the time. Mm-hmm. It's always the other high school's party. Just think of it that way.
That's good.
I was like, ooh, it's hard to do, but it's like a really good way to remember it. Like everybody knows that feeling. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that a lot.
I would say the only thing I would say as far as just like, yeah. do is try to stay connected to that world. I don't know what in what
I
way.
I would check in with yourself about it every yeah. 6 months or so to be like, yeah. am I, because it's also like, are you going to have student loans kicking in at some point? I don't know if your bartender.
She's making good money, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm sure. I just don't know, like, you know, those get really crazy expensive.
Can you send
if
over
you can
your
cover,
student loan receipts?
If you can cover that stuff, you know, I mean, great. But and I just know I went to college with a couple of friends that were very happy to stay in their town, and as time has gone on, whenever I see them, they're like, "I'm going to make that move now." And I'm not saying that you are that person at all, but I feel like. I know some people that did something similar to this that never made the move, and they're happy, but they always like
have this like weird what if in their mind too. So I just want you to like check in with yourself and make sure that genuinely you are doing what you want and you're not holding yourself back because it's comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
Or if you want to be comfortable, be comfortable, right. But just like be honest with where you're at with it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely stay connected to that world in some way with meetups. I don't, you know, whatever the fuck. And yeah. Make sure like that you're not. Is not there, totally letting go of that community.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, are you still living in your college town? Like, do they need, like, TA work or something? Maybe take, like, you don't have to go another degree, obviously, but, like, maybe take a couple of classes or something during your day to, like, be learning regardless. You know what I mean?
But it's also possible, like, you don't always end up doing what you went to college for either.
No,
like,
not at all.
My boyfriend and I know someone who went to med school, became a doctor. And then it was like, I actually don't want to be a doctor. I want to open a brewing company and now has a micro brewing place. And like her family
you
is like
pissed.
Yeah, you have
no idea where life is going to go.
Yeah. So like if you're happy, I mean, honestly, the most important gauge is that you're happy. Like not like, oh, I have to do this because I already invested this. Like
I just know that I definitely had a few years after college where I was like pretty depressed and not doing anything and lazy. And like it could have gone one of two ways. And I'm glad I pushed myself into the thing, but I could have not. Yeah. So I see what Brandy's saying as far as just like, just check in with yourself. Yeah. And like, if that is the thing you want to do, you know, make sure to not like let it go too long without kind of like pursuing it.
Just self-reflection during this period.
Yeah, never let other people educate your desires. That's the hardest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Check in with
I'll have someone educate my desires.
And also like in general, people
okay,
don't...
Barbara, come on. Yeah. We're, you know, this is time to...
What? Huh?
Are you educating about your desires? Mm-hmm. On your Instagram again.
I want to do more. There's all these questions. Sorry.
Time for we got another one.
I think.
We've got 10 minutes.
I think this one. Okay. Hey, ladies. Yet again, another lady problem. First off, I like to say how often I find myself laughing and I'm in generally a better mood since discovering your podcast. If I'm feeling down and want to avoid diving into my anxious thoughts, that will turn into an older episode. So here's the deal. I recently moved back to my small town / city, about 100,000 people, after living abroad for the last 7 years. There was a death in my family, and after realizing how little I have had how little time I've had to bond with everyone, it felt right to stay here and reconnect. Around the same time as the death happened, I had ended things with my boyfriend. Fast forward about a month of mourning later, and I went on what I would like to call a bumble bender. I must have gone out with at least 20 people in the last 5 months, and it's been fun. Some things have developed, others not, but everything was coming from a carefree, consensual place. I made it a priority to tell everyone I was dating other people. Anyway, here's the problem. I met this guy, and we instantly hit it off. He is by far the most fascinating person I've met in years. We were constantly chatting when we were together, and it seems like we are kids hanging out, wanting to tell each other all of our secrets. We already made art together, went on hikes, climbs, things have been great. When we first met, we spent pretty much the next week together nonstop, meeting as soon as either one of us got out of work, coffee in the morning, etc. At some point, I bring up the fact that I'm applying for a Spanish citizenship because my great-grandparents were born in Spain.
Oh, no.
He was surprised. He said, oh, we're both Spanish then, mine too. Casually mentions the name and find out that we are fucking related.
Oh no.
Technically, we're third cousins. We have the same great great grandparents who were brothers. My immediate family was pretty antisocial growing up, so I never met much of my family, especially my cousins, apparently.
Oh my God.
For me, this isn't a big deal because in my maybe irrational mind, I think about it like this. We have never once met each other in our lives, and it's not like we're going to have kids or anything. But the social stigma around this is a bit nuts. I casually mentioned his last name to a friend of mine, and she goes, oh, aren't you related to the blanks in town? And I would like some sort of perspective from people that aren't in this small town. Is sharing the same great-great-grandparents even a big deal? We're like 2% related, according to sites. We've both decided it may be a bit weird to dive into dating until we figure out how much we want to pursue each other, which seems like a good option, but I hope this connection isn't tainted by stigma and fear of judgment, which inevitably it seems like it will be. Maybe it is crazy, but I'm just too hopelessly romantic. Like I said, though, I've been on so many dates and escapades since I've been here, and he's the first one that really energizes my creativity, adventures, and motivates me. What do you think? Small-town dating blunders.
Oh, fuck. I mean, honestly, though, third cousin is pretty distant.
I 2%. That's, I mean.
I mean, I don't think it's, no. But.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends because, you know, we're all saying that, of course, yeah, third cousin, 2%. Like, technically, it's really not a big deal at all. But the stigma is stickier and there's nothing that any one of us in this room can say about it that is going to remove that stigma. So I think it's more about, like, can you handle that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how much are you willing to, like, it's really rough. It's not rough. It's cool when you meet someone and it's like Raz Blammy Mataz and you want to change your life. But it's on a practical level, it seems like if you both wanted to pursue a relationship, you have to get out of this small town.
Yeah.
I think that's good advice. Yes. But, yeah. Go to Spain. But it's also,
but it seems like, but it's hard because it seems like you've been also pretty fulfilled by going back home and like connecting with people there. So you don't seem like the type of person that just wants to like, you know, fuck off and disconnect from your family because you've met someone or made a life choice.
Yeah.
Oy, oy, oy.
That's tough. I mean, what would you guys do?
I mean, honestly, my first instinct is that I would obviously not want to date a cousin of mine.
Yeah. Internalizing the stigma. Yeah. Sorry.
I also grew up in, like, very close to my cousins. Like, well, for me, my cousins are almost. What if, that's what before. I mean. Like, so to me, a cousin is like almost like a sibling. So I don't.
What if you found out you're related to Sean? What if Sean
That's
was
what I'm
your
saying. This
cousin?
Is like someone she might be in love with. So it's like, like, what if the person?
It's hard for me to put my. I mean, yeah. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Smart. Go for it. I don't give a shit.
If you're in love, I mean, honestly, yeah, yeah. I don't think. And like, I'm pretty sure in Brazil, first cousins date. Yeah. Honestly,
no,
I'm
there
serious.
Honestly like, are a lot of cases where people, like, you know.
I think you're far enough apart. I would maybe not tell people.
Don't tell people. I feel there's like no reason to tell people.
Really but it sounds like people know because when she said she brought up this last name, they were like, oh, is he related to the so-and-so?
Well, and then you just say no.
It's more of a function of, like, having this relationship in this particular town that you're
yeah.
in. So it means either, like, yeah, maybe you both need to get out of there together.
Yeah.
Yeah, or I think you can just deny that you're really... I
Let's
mean, like,
run away.
I came from a town that, like, there was it was, like, a big farming town, so, like, a lot of Portuguese people live there, and there's, like, a lot of people from different families where it's, like, are we cousins or not? Are we cousins or not was, like, a pretty big question in, like, a Catholic farming town, and, like, sometimes you were and sometimes you weren't. So I think you just deny that you're cousins. I think it's a different blank.
Yeah, just be like, oh, no, that's another.
It's a different, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to tell people. I think this is something that comes up that, like, I think obviously if it happened to me, I would feel like I had to fucking tell everybody, but you don't. That's a reality.
Yeah, you don't have to. It's your life. It's your business.
Yeah. It's a really distant connection. The families don't talk anyway. I mean, I would just minimize it. Don't tell. Just minimize it and move on. I mean,
yeah.
Because really the biggest problem is the outside stigma.
Right.
Yeah. Definitely.
But I mean, 2%, like, I don't know. I feel like any, like, Irish guy I'm 2% related to.
Exactly. Low fat milk.
Yeah. All gingers are related is the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No. But it's funny. I mean, you also have to really examine, this is another thing where it's really hard to separate other people's opinions from your own.
Like,
so
the last,
like,
thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to say, like, oh, yeah, ignore the stigma. But I mean, part of it is, like, I personally would probably not continue the relationship, and maybe I don't know if that's me internalizing the stigma or what else, but you have to check in with yourself.
Yeah,
like, try to separate other people's perception of it from your own, and like, is this something that's gonna, like, gnaw at you forever? Is it always gonna be this weird thing in the back of your mind that you can't get over?
I don't get that, though. I mean, she doesn't seem like she's really haunted by it.
Okay.
She's doing Googling, and she's, like, she's looking for excuses to go for it.
Yeah.
She's doing Googling.
That definitely comes through. She's like, oh, but it's not this. Don't worry about this. Yeah. It's like, you want to do this.
Yeah. So give yourself permission. Like, if you want to, don't judge yourself. I mean, if you're happy, fucking go for it. Like, no harm, no foul.
Yeah, it's rare to find people that you get along with. That well, so.
Most of the time when people, or when I ask for advice on a decision, I'm just subconsciously even, like, looking for affirmation of the decision that I really kind of already want to make.
Yeah, you already know the answer, usually.
It's like when you ask your boyfriend which dress, and he says the blue one, and you're like, you wear the red one, because you didn't want to be told the blue one.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe just, like, tell him he can't jokingly call you cuz at any point, because you'll break up with him. Maybe, like, all right, I would just, let's just, like, not worry about it.
Let's just, like, never mention this again.
Never mention it again. Bury it. Just bury it. Bury it in both of your hearts.
Use a different last name. You know, use disguises when you're in town together on dates.
Burn all of your grandparents' pictures.
Yeah.
I think that's the solution.
Have him wear a fake mustache.
Get rid of that paper trail.
I mean, was there even camera technology when your great-great-grandfather was alive?
No.
Probably not.
You got some daguerreotypes? Forget about it.
Also, like, I'm impressed that you can trace back to your great-great-grandparents.
Seriously.
That's impressive. I
probably fucked a bunch of cousins. Who knows?
One can hope.
And no, Brendan, average. Brendan went to school in Wisconsin, and there's like, if you are from Minnesota, like especially up north in Minnesota, you have to ask who your family members are because everyone is like so related up north. You just have to be like, oh, you're from Minnesota. Where are you from? Who's your grandparents?
Yeah, like I heard that. You have to do it. Yeah, in Iceland, because the population is so small that there is whatever their version of Tinder or Bumble is, there's like a feature built in that helps, that will tell you whether or not you're related to this person.
Jesus. Oh, that's interesting.
But this is so beyond my purview because it's like I'm first generation. My parents are from Mexico, and then I, you know, live in friggin' Los Angeles where everyone is from everywhere. Yeah. So that is just.
You've been a free bitch your whole life.
That is never, just like a craziest, that has never been a consideration. No. Yeah. But I'm just learning that, like, you know, it's actually not, maybe, probably not half as weird as, like, most people think it is.
No, I mean, I'm sure in Salt Lake, all the, you know, they're all like, all the Mormons, you probably got to make sure.
I mean, my brother and my sister-in-law, actually, because my family's originally from this, like, small island off the coast of Portugal, mm-hmm. and it's, like, tiny, tiny set of islands, and my sister-in-law's family is also from that. So they were already dating, actually, before they got married. They checked the genealogy records to make sure they weren't related, and they aren't, but it's kind of surprising that they're not, because, like, the population on these islands
just
is tiny.
Barely.
Yeah.
Wow. Just barely not related.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel weird. I mean, also, I never dated, like, Mexican or Latin American guys, but my boyfriend now is, like, the first, he was born in Argentina. He's the first, like, you know, Latin American person I've dated. And then as soon as, and the first time he met my family, they were like, oh, that's funny. He kind of looks like Michael, like, my brother. And
oh,
just
oh,
them,
just
why that.
Would you ever say
never
that?
Never say that to
me,
anybody.
Like, that, and, like, A, I obviously totally disagree, but the fact that they just said that, I was like,
ew, what are you doing to me? What?
Are you ruining everything?
Why would you even put that visual into your brain?
But, like, I don't know, maybe it's because, like, I've always dated, like, gingers and, like, super white guys. The fact that, like, I brought home someone that's, mildly.
Yeah.
And I'm putting my arms in the air to prove my point. I don't know why.
Swimming through the air.
I wish I'd. All right.
All right. Well, yeah, go for it.
I mean, my brother looks like Justin Timberlake, so you can imagine that's problematic.
I have a Tom Cruise brother, and everyone has told me my whole life how attractive he is. And I'm like, cool, great.
Does that make you think Tom Cruise isn't hot?
I don't think Tom Cruise is
hot. See, I don't think Justin Timberlake is hot because he looks like my brother.
My brother looks like Joe Wengert. All right? Well, that celeb brother looks like. Christina, thanks for doing the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh, yeah. These people find their bliss.
Yeah. Where can everybody find you, like, online and stuff to find your
people
shows
can
stuff?
Find me. This is it, like, dumb to put up my website?
No. What we're asking for.
No.
This is the best. Last time I was on a podcast, I was like, here's my website, and he's like, that's don't know. Anyway, it's ChristinaCatherine .info, and that's just the easiest because it's all, like, my tweeters and my cool business and my Instagrams and
it's great.
And videos and stuff are on there.
Go check her out. She's super fun to see perform, and go see Aesthetical Relations.
Yay.
Hell yes. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcast, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker, for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review in iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
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 Bye.